CJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. And we got a treat in store for you. Hello, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, and CJSFCA, streaming online worldwide. Today, you are listening to a recording done at the 411 Senior Center using or via our Powered by Age podcast. We have been discussing just some of the ramifications of learning that even more children's bodies have been found buried and that it brings the total to nearly 1,000. And rather than a celebration of Indigenous peoples' day and month, there have been gatherings for prayer and commemoration and questioning how can a reconciliation come about. So today we are just discussing some of the terms that people have different understandings from. We're discussing how we as seniors can do things with the skills we have, the reservoirs to be not only allies, but advocates who go to court, who go to listen in on discussions and see how to make the law, make the country work for everyone. And so with that, we'll go into listening to the program. Well, good afternoon and welcome to Powered by Age, Canada's longest running senior-led podcast. I'm Charlotte Farrell, the host, and I want to acknowledge that our program and our project takes place on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish nations. And today we are going to be talking a little bit beyond what it means when we just say that we acknowledge these things, but some of the words that we've heard in the news, the terrible news that we've heard about more children's bodies being found. We're going to have an activity where we look at a few words or terms that we've heard, but even more so because, if you like me, we're feeling a little bit just overwrought with that news. What does it mean in a country like Canada where we so much valued freedoms and where we looked at around the world as being a peaceful country? How does this rest? What's the responsibility for us? What things can we do? So that's going to be part of our discussion today. We also have music. We have music from Indigenous artists. And with music, we've been integrating music in different ways with our podcast. One is just to have a time to move. When you sit for an hour, it is not a great thing, especially for us who are adding years to our lives. And so we have been integrating moving, whether the movement is a spiritual movement, a dance movement, but adding movement. And so as you listen to the pieces today, we will be thinking in what ways our bodies lead us to move as we are connecting with the message of the music. So without further ado, the next thing we do is just have the people who are on at the beginning introduce themselves today. If there is something that you feel most, what's the thing that you feel most compelled to do with regard to making Canada an age-friendly, happy city? And you'll start with Nancy.
Hello, Charlotte. My name is Nancy Sinclair, and I live on beautiful Vancouver Island. Just in the question, what am I committed to do to making an age-friendly city? Accessibility. I think accessibility is one of my biggest interests and passions. And actually, they're doing they're looking to modify our waterfront here and taking into account accessibility for everybody. Pardon me for my little puppy that's barking in the background. I think for myself, it's sometimes bringing to people's attention, they don't always recognize in buildings what isn't accessible. You know, like architects and engineers, they build a building, but they don't necessarily function in the building. So sometimes people are just very oblivious. They don't have any recognition. They don't have any consciousness or have even realized that accessibility can be a difficulty for somebody. Even in terms of the weight of a door, the direction a door opens or doesn't open, the space of the door, just the ease of which you're accessing a space, an office space, or there are just so many different components. Sometimes they just, hills, I see lots of hills where parking lots, you know, they'll have a slope. So I think it's bringing it to people's attention that can do something to make the changes. So that's my commitment.
Mario?
Good afternoon, everybody. And this is my first day being an observer at this time about this Powered by AIDS. I like Nancy's idea about accessibility, but actually a few days ago, Accessibility British Columbia Act received royal assent. So that is very interesting in the sense that the marginalized group of people, I'm referring for about people with disability, and the BIPOC, that's Black Indigenous People of Color, has been marginalized in some sense in their ability to be integrated in the society. So this act, this Accessibility Act, will be very helpful in help, as Nancy mentioned, designers about public utilities, how wide the doors should be, or the washrooms, what is the height of the tables, and the chairs in public parks, are they low enough or are they high enough for seniors to be able to stand up after they sat down? Because most of the time, designers will say, we conform with the American standard. But can we not go beyond the standard so that we can make these facilities available to seniors who access these areas? And for example, pedestrians, traffic, can they be widened so that there is now the distancing between mobile transport on the pedestrians? As you know, more and more of these modern mobile devices are using a pedestrian that is designed for So you see those skateboards, motorized vehicles using the pedestrians. So how can we as seniors help the city design these facilities? And actually, if you live in certain municipalities, they have special groups of advocacy group that help them design. I live in Burnaby, so we have a Burnaby Access Advisory Council composed of seniors, outreach societies, and people with disabilities like the hearing and sight impaired that helps them. And also TransLink has the TUAC, that's TransLink Universal Access Council, they're composed of staff and members from the public that critique facilities. So it's important that seniors be involved with these projects. And I'll start from there. Thank you.
Okay. Neil.
Well, beautiful, beautiful day today. Just absolutely gorgeous. I was out there at 7 o'clock feeding my crows.
They know what they're talking about.
Four crows this morning following me as I walked. So beautiful day. And I don't think there's very much can be done to improve in this in the joy that we have that we live in such a beautiful city and such a beautiful country. We are indeed very blessed to be here. And I'm quite not surprised that there are more children, and I understand perhaps even adults that have been buried in unmarked graves, and I feel great sadness that that is the truth. But yet there's a part of me that is not surprised, because those were different times and different thoughts, and people were abused, children were abused. But hopefully healing will take place for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. In our planning this month, June has been a month where we've done special recognition or tributes to different groups. It was Indigenous Peoples Month for the first time that we've celebrated. But this year, people have asked that we commemorate rather than celebrate due to the disturbing, distraughtful findings of first 215 children buried at one former residential school, and then just last night, just yesterday, the confirmation of 700. So today, one activity that we were going to do is each of you in your chat box have a particular word. And there's some words that we've heard a lot in the news, but what I wanted you, without doing a lot of thinking about it, just looking at the word, I'm going to ask you just what you think that they mean. And Jesse is with us as well. Jesse is the Public Affairs Director at CGSF Radio, and with our podcast, he's our technical support person. So Jesse also has a word. So I'm going to ask you if you will start with your word, Jesse. And what we'll do is, since everybody has a different word, we'll kind of just like listen here what people's take was on that word, and then we'll come back to having a discussion about what others might feel about those particular words. So, Jesse, do you want to start?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Jesse here. My word is unceded, which is obviously one of the big parts of the territorial acknowledgement that is given at the beginning of events. And in my understanding, that's related to the way that the territory came under the control of the Canadian government. And what unceded means is that there was never any formal treaty or acknowledgement or sort of legal process of transfer of the ownership of said land. So in BC, most of BC is not covered by any of the treaties that were signed over most of the rest of what is now Canada. So the land here is in a sort of state of legal limbo where it's not... legally the Canadian government, but the Canadian government has assumed control of it.
Okay. Nancy, your word.
My word was indigenous. And so indigenous, what I think of it, or how it occurs to me, is naturally occurring in a particular place. So even say in terms of plants, you know, like there's different plants that are indigenous to certain regions. You know, there's certain plants, trees that would grow, say, in Jamaica, tropical countries, that wouldn't be indigenous to parts of the West Coast here in Canada, and vice versa. You know, so we have plants and trees. And even though we have, you know, like rainforests here, we have a variety of climates, even in our one province. There's certain things that are indigenous to our area that we wouldn't have the benefit of seeing in another part of the world. So indigenous, originating or occurring naturally in a particular place, so it's native to that area.
How do you relate that in terms of people, in the same way as plants?
That's a good question.
I've been thinking, you know, going back in time, you know, back to the time, say, of settlers, and, you know, people are indigenous to a certain region. They, you know, generationally, they were, you know, born in that area. Their families have stayed in that area. And So the people themselves perhaps are indigenous to that area. That's where they originated from. And the families have grown and lived and generationally, like I say, they just continue to come from that area. So I would say perhaps certain cultures, certain people are indigenous to a particular part of the world. Maybe that's just the seed, the root of where they've come from, not that they've necessarily not expanded and grown and traveled and started to live and, set roots in other parts of the world. It just seems that there's certain groups of people that are indigenous to a particular area of a country.
Okay. Thank you. We'll get other people's feedback about each other's words, but first we'll just give each person opportunity to talk about their particular word. So Gail, what was yours?
You know, this word has been ever since the children in Kamloops were found. This word has been swirling around in my mind. And I'm saying, yeah, this is it. This is our Holocaust. And what I mean by that is the German people actually faced up to what they had done to the Jews and everybody else over time. I remember my buddy Dave Strauss, he's still around. He's 70 or 71 right now. And he said, Gail, people were apologizing to me left and right, and they were total Nazis. I went, well, Dave. And then the really democratic social system that Germany set up. And so it's a country that actually faced their crimes and did something about it. And I think we are a country that are facing our crimes and slowly but surely are doing something about it. Me, I'm a settler. The Ukrainian side came here. Well, there's people in this room whose people got here before mine did. But on the Holditch side, they've been around since the 1700s. And so we're old settlers on stolen Seneca land in Ontario. Our responsibility, my responsibility as a settler, is to be an ally. People are kind of weird. They kind of, oh yeah, that's the Indian Center. Well, you know, I've been there a number of times, especially for the Christmas fair, which is excellent to buy presents. People said, and my First Nations friends say, this is open to the public. Anybody can come, and everybody does come if they know about it. And why are we so afraid and timid to walk onto into a First Nations place or onto what's designated as First Nations land, as long as we have the permission to be there, and that's totally legitimate. And so my responsibility as a settler, in absolutely every way I can, is to be an ally.
Okay, Mario, your word was reconciliation.
I think that is a word that we need to consider, because there's so many apologies since this issue came to the forefront since way back in the 1990s, and some people said, some of these groups says, oh, the Catholic Church has never acknowledged or apologized, but if we can look back and see some of the issues that have been brought to the public attention way back in the 1990s, these issues have been, I don't want to say dealt with, but rather acknowledged. But we always come back finger pointing. But it is indeed unfortunate that this happened in this particular history. It's a shameful part of Canadian history that this happened, but it's part of history and should be acknowledged. And I would say, try to figure out how can we move on, kind of thing, because to penalize people, the citizens who have been born way after that period in our shameful part of the history, and then say, oh, the present minister, oh, the present governor or federal or mayor should apologize. I do not think that is part of the solution, because why blame the present from the mistakes of the past generations kind of thing? But rather, I think, to me, it is probably a better idea to understand and try to reconcile the issues that were that affected that particular point of our history, and how we can sort of make we can make amendments in the social way we treat the indigenous group of people, because at this time we still have social governmental policies that affect them, the issues that deal with our indigenous community, like water, education, funding, and youth welfare kind of thing. There's so many issues that are ingrained in government policies that needs to be looked at, and how we can reconcile issues that made those kind of mistakes happen in the past. So there's no sense of looking in the past and blaming the present and just say, oh, you should give X million dollars for the remaining people kind of thing. Is that useful? So those are the questions in my mind at this time. Thank you.
Neil, I think your word was traditional.
You know, for thousands and thousands of years, we grow ever so slowly. And everything changes over time, little by little. And we've come to a place where we need to acknowledge that we are changing. We're part of the entropy of the world, that is, that this now acknowledge that we have done so many wrongs, not just Canada, not just the John A. McDonald. You know, at the time, perhaps what they were trying to do was to bring the Native community into the rest of the world, and in order to had to trample on the traditions, on the language, and it's disgraceful, but it's what was there at the time, and we are evolving, we are growing little by little. And I remember as a child, I had surgery when I was 4 years old, and I shared my room with at least two indigenous native peoples. And I have no idea why they were in hospital, but the nurses looked after the young boys just like they were looking after me. So I really like to see the world as it is, which is that we all grow little by little, and those boys were in the same predicament that I was in, which is, I'm sorry, I was 4 years old. I don't remember what was the problem, but there were two young boys. They maybe had mumps or something. I really don't know. I was just remembering that with no difference than me. We were ill children, so. Little by little, you know, the South American Indians were, or whatever, indigenous. They were abused. So were natives all over the world, and it's still going on all over the world. We, you know, the one thing that I keep in mind all the time is that there is only one human being on this planet. We are all the same. We're from the same mother, and we all have the same color blood. Let's stop spilling it. Thank you.
Okay, my word is nationhood, and I have different feelings about nation as it is with respect to indigenous people. In different parts of the world, there were people that were already living in particular places, but as commerce and capitalism began to grow, and with trade, as people started to find that there were people in other places that maybe had more resources, the resources that were in Africa, resources that were in India, the connection between just exploration to see what was around the world, to carrying weapons to places where people were more peaceful or people were dealing differently with the land. And because of the presence, the ability to have weapons that were stronger than people who were using, the strongest thing they used against another human might have been a stick or a dart, that a lot of people claimed, like the discovery of America, America was already there, but the discovery discovery of Canada, it was already here. So a lot of the problems that we have is that at different points where there have been different countries that have been, part of their nature was to be in control of the world, where they said the sun never set on the Roman Empire, the sun never set on the British Empire. As some people were more warlike, or some people, you say we're all the same, but some people's nature have been different in the ways that they have traveled the world and encompassed or engaged in other people. So in these two countries that are very close together, Canada and America, there was a similar experience of people who were already here and people who had nations, people who had lands, and people had ways of interacting with each other. But with the explorers coming in and saying, oh, we found this great land, they had their trips where it had been financed through England, financed through Portugal, financed through a number of European countries. They put down their flame and claimed nationhood within things that were already nations. And so where Mario has said, in some part, forgiving the past, and not saying, well, we need to give something to those people, I don't totally agree with, because nations already existed, and that we do have to come to some point where we recognize, you know, there's a part of the Caribbean where the river is called the Rouge River, and it's Rouge River because people were put to death if they didn't accept the faith. So I think that we have to acknowledge and what's causing a lot of emotional crisis for people as part of their religions, like within people who are within the Catholic Church, people within the churches that operated the residential schools. Some of the people now are very horrified that people allowed people to be, children to be tortured, or children, you know, some people are speaking of that were survivors of the residential schools, drugged down steps or put into cold water to make them not use their language, to make them forget everything about their nation. And so whether that is human progress, you know, to force people that were in one nation to accept the dress, the language, the norms, the food of another, I think is a gross